see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
Hey guys, we're back with a little surprise bonus episode. You know, we've just had so many questions and a lot of feelings about this season. It's been full of intrigue and scandal. And so we decided to reach out and get the scoop from someone who actually knows what's going on behind the scenes. Robert Mills. He's the head of alternative programming for ABC, as well as, you know, a prolific tweeter.
Yeah, we talked about his history with the franchise. We talked about those off-screen scandals. We basically fixed the show, I think.
Definitely.
We talked about what we can expect from Paradise. And to me, more importantly, we talked about The Proposal, which is The Bachelorette's underappreciated baby sibling, I think.
We basically just had a really fascinating conversation, and Rob was kind enough to be candid with us about a whole host of things. So we think you'll really enjoy our back and forth.
So today we're joined on the phone by Robert Mills. Thanks so much for chatting with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So for our listeners who might not be familiar with your role somehow, despite your very active Twitter and podcast presence.
Great Twitter presence.
Could you explain a little bit about what your role is at ABC?
You know, the easiest way to put it is any programming on ABC in primetime and late night that is not scripted, I oversee. So that is everything from all the reality shows, which is The Bachelor franchise, American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, Shark Tank, America's Funniest Home Videos, all the various game shows we do, The Proposal, of course, and then all the specials like the Oscars, the CMA Awards, the American Music Awards, anything, if we do any sort of live music specials, and then Jimmy Kimmel Live. So I oversee all of that.
A wide variety.
It is a wide variety. It definitely runs the gamut.
Wow. So how long have you been involved in The Bachelor?
The Bachelor, I've been at the network since about 2003 and started in series, I think, in 2005. And that was when I started on The Bachelor. So my first Bachelor season was, I don't know how far back you go, but it was Prince Lorenzo Borghese.
Oh, yes.
The Italian prince who didn't speak Italian.
It's more about the aesthetic of the Italian prince.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Yeah, not about the authenticity. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Had you, at that point, had you been watching the show before you got involved?
No, this is the funniest thing about that. So, you know, I was told I was going to oversee The Bachelor. And so I thought, well, I probably should watch the show. And so my first season was Lorenzo. So I should. And I thought, I have no idea what people find compelling about this show. I really don't get it. And it was sort of a different time. It was when The Bachelor was always somebody new. The Bachelor always ran a couple times a year, so it was always on. And it was that thing where it had sort of become a punchline where, oh, yeah, they're going to, you know, meet each other, he's going to pick some girl, and then they break up 6 weeks later. And all of this is exactly what happened. And it didn't even get, I mean, I remember it, at this point, it was the girl he chose. It was a girl named Jen. And it was a, you know, I don't know what this is, but I think it's something. So I want to get, basically, I want to get to know you better. It wasn't even the proposal or anything like that. It was just the, hey, let's date more, which is in some ways a very sensible thing to do. But it also was sort of on. It's like, well, we've had this investment for eight. I think at that point it was only 8 weeks at the time. And I just don't get what's compelling about this. And then we had a bachelor named Andy Baldwin, who was a naval doctor. And you saw he was very hunky. He was sort of just everything you'd kind of want a bachelor to be. And there were all these women who had the dream of being the wife of a naval doctor. And they were so competitive and into him. And then and he proposed at the end. It was great. And then I saw the power of the show. I was like, okay, now I get what's so great about it. But that was sort of my baptism by fire into the Bachelor franchise.
So coming in, were you like, I have a lot of ideas for how to make this more compelling to watch? Or were you just like, oh, God.
No, I did not have one idea. And I just sort of thought to myself, okay, you guys need to figure out how to make it more compelling. And to their, they did that with, you know, the thing that did work. I remember with Andy Baldwin saying, I watched his sort of audition tape. I said, oh, this is, you know what this is? It's an officer and a gentleman. And I said, well, let's call it that. And I think we couldn't call it an officer and a gentleman because Paramount, who owns that movie, had that title. So we had to just call it Officer and a Gentleman, The Bachelor, Officer and a Gentleman. And I think that was the, okay, you know, have some of the tropes that are great about great sort of romances that we've seen, whether on TV or in movies. And so I think that, you know, that was sort of maybe one small contribution I made. But no, it was about just, there's something here. How do we make it more compelling? And then a lot of these things have just been happy accidents. I mean, I think that nobody realized when we used somebody from a previous season in Jason Mesnick, who was on Deanna Pops' Bachelorette season, how that was going to be so great because the audience was already invested in him. The girls we cast were invested in this guy. And I think that's what made that season so compelling. And the other thing that was a small tweak that happened completely by happenstance was I think having the show air once a year really helps because it makes that big thing of who's going to be the next Bachelor. That's a big thing because it's the only Bachelor we get all year. So a lot of the things that have helped and added to the longevity are just things that just happened by accident, but we were sort of ready for them. It's that thing of whatever they say, luck is when I can't even know the phrase, but you know the thing I'm talking about.
Yeah, right.
So preparation meets inspiration or whatever the hell it is. But anyway, we've had a lot of that with The Bachelor, and it's been great. I also think the rise of social media has absolutely changed how people watch the show, how they view it, and how we make it. So,
and that's certainly something we want to get to. But I'm interested in what you said about sort of leaning into those tropes, because I think that's something that, as a viewer, as you watch it over and over again, you sort of notice. And that is certainly something that makes it compelling. We feel like there are these sort of familiar characters or these storylines. Do you feel like the proposal element of it is kind of essential now to that, like creating that perhaps illusion, at least, of sweeping romance?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think that when something different happens, that's always good for the franchise, too. I mean, when Juan Pablo didn't propose, I think that ended up, that lent itself to a great ending, a great, you know, as much as everybody says they hated, you know, Juan Pablo as a Bachelor.
No, I loved that season. I loved it.
Exactly.
I think that you need to cast more men who half of the women really hate and lean into that.
No, we, you know, my saying is always apathy is the enemy. When you don't care or you're bored, that's when it's bad. There's nothing wrong with the hating. As long as you have a feeling, whether it's love or hate, it's all good. The other thing people forget is we all love, and I actually still personally, I like Juan Pablo a great deal and I talk to him a lot, but we all loved Juan Pablo. When he was announced, I mean, I remember we announced him on Desiree's finale after the final rose. And we put, you know, Chris says, okay, who's ready to find out who the next Bachelor is? And they show this video and the camera pans down a beach and then they pan up to Juan Pablo. He says, my name is Juan Pablo. And the entire audience erupted like it was a rock concert.
I was
people
psyched.
People were really excited. So excited. And it was also, you know, what was interesting about that too? It was a Bachelor we didn't know really much about. We knew he was a single dad and a soccer player, and he was really, really good looking.
Yeah,
and
he was really cute. He had a cute accent.
I think that is why we were excited, because once we got to, I think that if we had seen more of his personality, people wouldn't have been excited.
No, you're right.
But in the end, it did make for a great season either way. So maybe it was better.
It made for a great season. So the proposals are not essential. I mean, the one thing that I think we've seen in the last several seasons is a lot of these proposals now are leading to marriage. I mean, Ari's getting married in December. I think our last, four bachelorettes are all about to get married. And we've seen a lot of now paradise proposals that have turned into marriages. And even now, a lot of them are having kids. So it's all, yes, those tropes are important. But, you know, if they don't lead to something, then they're kind of meaningless.
Yeah. Why do you think the bachelorettes seem to have much better judgment than the bachelors about long-term potential?
At the end of the day, women are probably much smarter. They know what they want. I think that's probably a big thing, but I think it just depends on the guy and the sincerity. And people can say whatever they want about Ari, but this guy, I mean, I remember I'm sitting on this couch in my office, and I remember when he came in and sat across me, it was literally I just want to find a wife. I've got this life. And he had taken himself out of sort of the bachelor world limelight. I mean, he was living this life in Arizona, and that was it. And he really backed it up, and he was very sincere. He knew what he wanted, and yes, he had to go through hell to get it, but he did that. And I think that when a guy is sincere, Sean Lowe was absolutely the same way. And I think they all are. I don't think anyone knows necessarily what they want. I think Nick was always sincere about it, but I think that at the end of the day, maybe it just wasn't the right match for him. But I think the women really come in and they know what they want. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, but I'm certainly glad that our last Bachelor is successful and is getting married soon. But it has been a much higher success rate with the women. You're right.
Yeah. Has that played into why you guys have been going back to past seasons so much recently? Like, we haven't seen a Bachelor from the previous season of The Bachelorette for a couple years now.
No, I think it's just certain things happen. And, you know, you never know why something is going to happen. I mean, we were going down a certain path 2 years ago, and then Nick was on Bachelor in Paradise, and there was just this groundswell of, I can't believe I actually like Nick. And it was a weird thing of the, God, what would that season even look like? And the fact we didn't know was kind of a good thing. You know, it's like what we're talking about with Juan Pablo. It felt different.
Right. Let's talk about this season a little bit. Speaking of seasons that don't always go as expected. I mean, how do you think Becca's done as Bachelorette?
I think she's done great. And I think that when people see the ending, I don't know when you guys are airing this podcast, but when people see the ending, you'll see, I think when it all comes full circle, I think by and large, she's been great. I think she's taken it really seriously. I think she's been sincere. I think it's completed, you know, what's been a hell of a journey from her if you go back to The Bachelor. So I think on those merits, she's done really well.
Do you think she's been too composed? Is she like too good at her job?
I think she's absolutely been too composed. Well, you know, for TV, maybe that's not the best. And sometimes, you know, you want somebody who, but this is also a real show. You know, we're not doing a game show or some of the other competition reality shows where you can kind of ratchet that up and produce it. I mean, this is real. She's a real person. She absolutely deserved this role. She was the right one. She did it right. And at the end of the day, if you can be successful with that, that's hopefully what people are going to remember. But has she been too composed? Yes, but that's her personality. Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just in awe of it personally. Like, I would have had like 10 more, you know, full blown panic attacks by the time I got
this
far.
Wait, are you single?
Yeah, I'd be great on this show because I'd be awful.
When I hear panic attack, oh, this sounds great.
You know what you've never done before is what? Have a podcast host be the star of the show.
I know. Well, there's a first time for everything. Like I said, it's a, but you sound
you might
like
get
the
desperate
perfect
enough.
You never know. Exactly.
I mean, Ari came up a lot this season, obviously. She seemed still to be dealing with a lot of the feelings from that. Do you think it was too soon for her to be in that position?
I don't know. I mean, the one thing you have to, like, sometimes it feels like she literally went right into it. I mean, and I guess from a normal person's perspective, she probably did, because the breakup happened in January and she started as Bachelorette in March. So it's about, you know, 10 weeks. But no, I don't think so. Like I said, I think when you get to the end of the season, you see, no, it worked out the way it should. And she certainly now, I think, looks at everything as, you know, this was all kind of a blessing and it happened for a reason, because I think the idea now, seeing what she has versus the idea of what a life with Ari would have been like, terrifies her. So I think she's thrilled that it all worked out the way it did. But just, that being said, you know, was she still getting over being blindsided? Maybe a little bit. I think, though, the outpouring of, like, support she had and all the support from the girls from her season kind of helped with that. But obviously it still is a bit of an elephant in the room this season.
Yeah, I would be really afraid to pick someone again that I would look back on and be like, how embarrassing that I picked that person.
Yeah, again, prime, you are a prime candidate.
So obviously there have been a couple pretty big off-air controversies this season.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Garrett was found to have liked all of these pretty offensive, bigoted Instagram posts with conspiracy
theories.
Thank you
for giving me examples. I didn't know what you were referring to.
Yeah, that was for the benefit of our brand new listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, what kind of conversations has that prompted among the production?
Well, I mean, it's certainly been a debate of what we do to kind of do better so these things don't happen. You don't want – these are not the controversies you want on the show. The controversies you want are Ari breaking up with Becca so he can be with Lauren, which is as horrible as that was to watch. I mean, it wasn't a horrible thing. He did the right thing, and everybody all would agree who was involved in this that he did the right thing. But that's the type of stuff you want. You don't want this type of thing. So I think it's the how do we avoid this stuff from happening?
How do you? Like, have you created any, or have there been any suggestions of policies
we've had meetings, and we've all, Warner Brothers produces the show and we air it as ABC, and we've all met because it concerns all of us.
Right.
Everybody's taking it seriously, and how do we, you know, I mean, I think the one thing what, you know, everyone wants to make clear is that we didn't do the, you know, somebody like, obviously there was the Lincoln thing, which I think everybody realizes was just something, was a slip up in kind of the way we do the background checks, which are very thorough, but you sort of saw, okay, here's how this happened. We need to make sure this never happens again. And it, you know, it won't. In terms of the social media stuff, it is the, okay, when this happens, how do we avoid it so we can at least get in front of it and see what it is and address the situations? And most of them are, you know, really bad that it would be hard to put somebody like that on the show. But I think it's just addressing these on a case-by-case basis and just being able to do that before it all happens, as opposed to when the show is airing.
Right. Well,
have you guys thought about integrating social media and online stalking of your dates into the show more, like making that accessible to the lead?
It's funny that seems to come up all the time, that people think that's a good idea. I don't know. Certainly, I'd hate to use the phrase the lead has access to online stalking.
Meant colloquially, not a...
Yes, exactly, of course. Yeah, I think that all that stuff, I mean, you know, certainly we want to avoid having these situations, you know, like I said, controversies that you don't want to have happen. But also, you know, you look at, does that, as a, from a production standpoint, does it lead to a better show? You know, quite possibly. Just certainly creatively, it could lead to something very interesting.
So, yeah, to me,
yeah, we
like,
talk about all that stuff.
It
yeah.
could be really, just from a viewer's perspective, it could be fascinating to have the lead be into someone and then they're like presented a
right,
set of
exactly,
Instagram
yeah.
likes and they have to confront it.
Well,
I don't know. I think there's potential.
Look like it's a setup. I think there's potential. You know, it's like, this is fun to talk about, but you don't also want to make it look like we've completely set you up and then pulled the rug out from under
That's also a fair point.
You know, so I think that all this stuff, again, a lot of this stuff seems so black and white. And some of it is, but some of it isn't. So I think that that's why there's just a lot of discussion around all of it.
Yeah, and I think we're just interested in, you know, yeah, having this conversation with you because it is obviously a change that the show has had to confront. You know, when the show started, mm-hmm. just social media was not a reality the way mm-hmm. that it is now. And to me as a viewer, to both of us, it's just really fascinating to see the way that the outside world kind of creeps into the world of the show more because we all just have way more access to information about each other.
No, it's fascinating. I mean, it is, if you just, you know, if you take yourself out and remove yourself and just look at it from how this is and how different this all is and how just the world has completely changed. It is really fascinating. And I think that, yeah, we have to look at that. Like I said, I think social media has changed this show way, way more for the better than the worse, but we've got to look at all this stuff.
Yeah. So the situation with Garrett now, he's in the final two.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't at Men Tell All. Is there something planned to address it on After the Final Rose?
You know, I think that, first of all, I think Garrett was really upset by all this and got in front of it immediately. And he said something which is really, to me, the only thing you can say, and he said it sincerely, which is the, look, I totally understand why this upset people. It upsets me. I want to be better and learn more and become a more, you know, fully developed and well-rounded person. And I don't know what more there is to say. I mean, certainly, do I think it'll be addressed? Yeah, in terms of it's something that happened on the season and, you know, maybe how some of this stuff affected him. But it certainly isn't going to be an inquisition by Chris Harrison saying, you know, you said you were sorry, but how sorry were you? Or were you really sorry?
I want to know and how sorry he is.
I think his apology sort of said he feels really bad. And certainly, you know, if he takes it, I don't know what he's going to say. He might take it upon himself to say something. But, you know, I don't think we're going to strap him to a chair and force him to look at these again and say, you know, what was going through your head when you liked this? What were you thinking? That's not what this show is, you know? So...
Although, who could forget watching Caitlin confront her slut-shaming tweets, the slut-shaming
yes, exactly,
tweets that were sent
yeah.
at her? That was...
No, those were things... right, exactly. And she hadn't but she hadn't really addressed it at that point. So I think that that was it. So, yeah, I mean, I think that obviously... you know, it will somehow it will come up, but I don't think we're going to, you know, make it a 3-hour TED talk about the pros and cons of, you know, being able to like things on social media.
Yeah,
sure.
That's
yeah.
probably not what The Bachelor excels at.
No, I do think it is interesting, though, given what we know about Becca, even separate from how those likes made us see Garrett. I just as a viewer would be curious to know, like, if this is the person that she has chosen and then got this new information, like, how does that affect a relationship?
Yeah. No, and I think that that's something that is, you know, that's something that is about them personally. And I think that that's something that, you know, probably would be addressed is, you know, how did this, what was it like seeing that, knowing that this is somebody you're dating on the show and then you see it afterwards? And Becca's kind of talked about that as well. So I think that anything that has to do with a relationship or what's happening is certainly that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, talking about it from a bigger, more 30,000 foot view about this stuff probably wouldn't happen. Mm.
We also have to talk about Lincoln, unfortunately.
Yeah.
For our listeners who somehow don't know, he was charged with indecent assault and battery prior to appearing on the show. And he wasn't invited, it seems like, to the Men Tell All special.
Correct, yeah.
He wasn't mentioned. What was the calculation made there to not mention his absence or have any of the men speak to that?
Well, I think everyone agrees that this was a very black and white issue. He did something wrong. He never should have been on the show. And I think having Chris sort of, you know, ask the guys, well, what does everyone think? Did he belong on the show? Should he be here? Should he talk about it? He did something wrong. Like, this is such a simple thing. Chris has talked about this in interviews that he did not deserve to be invited or talked about. And he's absolutely right. Like, I mean, to me, this is a 5-second conversation. And it's just odd to me that people are like, well, why wasn't that talked about on Men Tell All? It's like, that's why nobody agrees. No, I mean, really, nobody would agree with what this guy did. And if you did, boy, that's a problem. So, I think that's really what it was.
Was there ever a conversation about, like, editing him out of the rest of the show, or?
We did some. I mean, unfortunately, it was a really, really unfortunate thing, especially because Lincoln was one of the guys on the After the Final Rose, the live one. Mm-hmm. And if somebody had told us, we could have eliminated him from the show entirely. He just never would have been on. And it sort of came up. I mean, yes, we could have. You still have a 2-hour show to put on, and it was hard. I mean, I think we tried to edit him the best we could, but it was unfortunate that he was part of, you know, a few more weeks after this all came to light. But I think, again, I think everybody tried to do it the best they possibly could.
Yeah. And just to what you're bringing up about, you know, if someone had reached out, I am sort of curious about, you know, we're in this moment of national reckoning. Obviously, Lincoln thing is very black and white. There was, mm-hmm. you know, a charge already out there. You know, if you beef up a background check, that should be found, and that's pretty clear. But it seems like just not necessarily an inevitability, but not unlikely that if you are casting a bunch of men in anything, mm-hmm. there might be something that comes out that hasn't been out there before about one of them.
Right.
Or more. I don't expect you to have a clear answer to this, but just as we see like more conversations around some of these contestants start to happen, and obviously there was the incident with one of the men who was on the proposal. Like,
yes.
Have you guys had conversations about systems to be put in place to address this if information does come to light?
I think, honestly, to your point, it's really a case-by-case basis. And we've just got to look at everything and really try and do the best we can. It's really difficult. And I think that's really all we can do right now, because everyone is actually different in their own way. And they're all, you know, you don't like any of them. I'm not saying one is better than the other or one. But I think we just got to address them all, hopefully as best we possibly can. And also, I hope we can try and be as transparent as we can with the audience, because that's, again, when the show works best. And I do believe everybody, why this show is so dear to them is because they do feel like they are part of this show and they're producers as well. So I think that's really what we'll try and do.
Yeah, that makes sense. I saw that Ashley Spivey, who's obviously mm-hmm. been super outspoken about this stuff, posted on Instagram today, actually, a few suggestions that she had as to how the franchise could, in her words, earn back viewers' trust on some of this stuff. And she had suggested the possibility of ABC or Warner Brothers setting up a hotline where people could actually report things about, you know, histories of sexual harassment. We've already said this.
The ideas she presented were not, you know, things nobody has either said or thought of. Is that something you guys would consider doing? I think that there's a lot of things we're talking about. You know, a lot of things I can't really say. But, I mean, I think everything, the point would certainly be to never have these things happen again. So I think everything is under consideration.
I've been watching the British show Love Island on Hulu.
Yeah.
And what I realized, which surprised me, is that it seems to be aired in pretty much real time.
Mm-hmm.
And contestants who come on the show have been watching it already. Is that something The Bachelor would ever consider, such that, like, then if we find out about something, someone could just be yanked from the house?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I wish, you know, we don't really shoot it. Some of these are edited closer than others, but believe me, I mean, that would be great. I mean, you know, we certainly had, if you remember, this isn't something that happened publicly, but on Jake Pavelka's season, we had one of the contestants who had an inappropriate relationship with the producer, and it was great. She was removed, and it was great TV.
A real win-win.
It's a win for everyone, exactly. Yeah.
If only they do something bad on the show where you can, like, catch it in real time.
That's right, exactly.
What about, like, releasing just a rap sheet of contestants ahead of time and just seeing if anyone recognizes any of them?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I think that there's all sorts of things that are being talked about. So I think that, you know, we will, anything that can be helpful is certainly being considered.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, and we appreciate you being so candid. We understand that these are really, really big questions
and conversations. Look, they're big things. I think it's important for us to say, like, we recognize this and feel as bad as anybody. But, you know, this is, you know, we want the lead to get the best possible men and women to be dating. Because, again, you're talking about, in a perfect world, this is a soulmate. And also, you want the people to be able to enjoy the show. Like, that's really the thing. This is supposed to be an escape. And we've seen through the years what this show means to people. I mean, we've had people who've been literally, like, dying of, and they've come to tapings, and it's the last sort of good day of their life, and they talk about how it's helped them, you know, get over things. And, you know, this is a show that means a lot to people, and you want it to be able to keep being that way. So I think it's super important for us to get in front of this and make it so people can enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that if, you know, the Trump interruptions could be avoided, it would really enhance my personal viewing experience.
Don't get me started on that. I mean, I can't. Why this guy picked Monday night of all nights?
I think it's because he wanted to interrupt the best reality show on television.
I would take it that way. Now that The Apprentice is no longer on.
The Apprentice was never as good as The Bachelorette. Come on.
It wasn't, but I think in his mind it probably was.
Oh, I'm certain in his mind
it was. It was stunning how this stuff happened. But look, honest to God, I mean, we try and do the best possible job around this stuff. Nobody likes this, so I hope we never have a summer like this again.
Yeah, same.
For so many reasons.
For so many reasons.
So many reasons. It's so true.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with a lot more from Rob Mills talking about the proposal, Paradise, and who the next Bachelor might be.
Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes. There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. our big console article, my bed frame article. This is an article household.
It is. And it's, I mean, it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Let's talk a little bit more about upcoming seasons.
Yeah.
We'd like to hear about who our next Bachelor might be. Have you guys started to consider that, maybe from the top four or five?
Well, yeah. I mean, The Bachelor starts later than Bachelorette in terms of production. You know, for Bachelorette, we do the After the Final Rose, and then like 3 days later, we start Bachelorette. So we have to have that ready to go. But with Bachelor, we have a little more time. So we have, you know, we don't start until the end of September. And I think, like we've done really the past several years, we're going to take our time and look and see and hear everyone and get some distance from this season and even look at Bachelor in Paradise, because that's where Nick came. And we will sort of go from there. But obviously, it's been great to hear. I don't think I've ever heard such a kind of divided, in a good way, group of viewers who are – there's so many people that people are kind of throwing their support behind, and that's really important. It's important to see who the viewers like. And also we'll look at the girls that are coming in for casting and who they're interested in, because that's important. And we'll weigh all those things, and we will, at some point, white smoke will come out from the Bachelor Mansion and we'll have a Bachelor.
Could there ever be a Peter Krause season, or is that just like fully dead?
You know, you never say never. Peter's somebody who absolutely has remained in the Bachelor family, just like Ari and Lauren. I mean, as you saw, they're on Paradise, and they're, you know, everybody, there's nobody who I think, maybe after Bachelor Winter Games, Luke Pell has kind of said, I want nothing to do with this franchise anymore. But most people most people like it. So, yeah, you never know. I mean, you want it to be the most successful season possible. So who knows?
When you look at like some of the top contenders right now, who are you hearing the most about from fans? Like Jason?
A lot of times it has to do with what's happened recently, which is why it's nice to get some distance and see everything. So right now it's all Jason.
Right.
Right. But then presumably someone else will be heartbroken and there will be.
There's that as well. And then there's also, like I said, you know, we had people heartbroken from JoJo's season, and then all of a sudden Nick starts airing on Bachelor in Paradise, and it was, gosh, I really love Nick. So, you know, I think we had to look at that. I think you look at, do you take a guy? What was interesting, like we said, we didn't know nothing about Juan Pablo. Now, he's on Bachelor in Paradise, but do you look at somebody like Grocery Store Joe, who's a guy that had a huge following, without knowing anything about him? You know, so I think that there's all sorts of people. But Jason, right now, if you're doing it right now and you said, okay, who's the person people really want to see, it would be Jason.
Right.
I'm concerned about Grocery Joe's ability to narrate the show at all, or, you know, express
exactly his
feelings after his Mentel All performance. Like,
that's right.
Chris Harrison was really doing all the work.
He did. He did all the work. That's very astute of you. Look, I think that that's the thing that's important. And all these things go into that decision as well. And that's why sometimes people think that
you know, when we pick somebody or don't pick somebody, it has to do with, oh, you know, you weren't listening to what people wanted and whatever. But there's a lot of decisions. So I think that's a totally valid point about Grocery Joe.
Would you ever bring back the two bachelors fight to the death format?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, is that something you'd want to see?
I don't know. I did.
That's great. Like, would you ever bring it back? I thought you were trying to say, like, you guys should really do it. And like,
no, I'm curious as a way to narrow people down. Because I remember with Caitlin and
and Britt.
Right. You're like, thinking, Claire doesn't even remember Britt's name.
I remember thinking Caitlin was a really obvious choice. So I wasn't even sure why that decision was made. Why was that decision made?
I think there was a real split. There wasn't a real clear-cut person. And, you know, I think we probably were bored, too. And I was like, well, let's do something, you know, interesting. And no, I mean, I think it was just that. I mean, honestly, I don't know that there was one thing that led to that decision.
Oh, that was but such a good season.
It was. And I'm sitting in my office and I'm staring at the it was one of the boxes that the guys did the rose drops in. Mike Fleiss has the other one. So we also got that, which I love, too. I've got this great piece of bachelor history in my office.
Did it for the swag.
For that, exactly. That's right.
So you have a lot of, like, qualities you're keeping in mind. When you think of an ideal bachelor or an ideal bachelorette, what does that look like? And are they different from each other? Do you want different things out of a bachelorette versus a bachelor?
No, I think that they're all... I think it's really... The biggest thing is just somebody that... You know, you really want to spend 22 hours with, that you believe in their journey, that you think that the people who are going to be on the show are going to want to also spend all this time with them. I think it's, you know, and I think you look at from season to season, sometimes, I mean, what was also great about Juan Pablo, which we loved, was, okay, we'd had Sean Lowe, who was like the ultimate bachelor in terms of the, you know, he was... hunky, he was sincere, he was just, you know, he was like just a great, great person. And then you think, okay, well, how do you want to follow that with somebody who's out of that mold, which you could do, or do you do a left turn like Juan Pablo? So I think that's also the thing that helps. That's what was great about Nick. He felt like a left turn. I feel like we actually haven't done that much on Bachelorette, and I think sometime – well, Caitlin was sort of that, I think. She wasn't your typical Bachelorette.
And that was great TV.
It was great TV, so I think that's something – to really look at. So I think that, you know, we'll weigh, that's another thing we'll look at this last season with Ari. Okay, what would be kind of different, you know,
who's
kind of a different bachelor? Right, there you go. Exactly. Thank you.
So, but obviously, as you mentioned before, The Bachelor, we have Paradise. We've seen some crazy teasers. What can we expect from this season?
We're very excited.
Yes, everyone, I have not... I could not tell you. I don't think I can go 5 minutes without somebody telling me how excited they are for Bachelor in Paradise, which is great. You can expect really everything that you've – to me, this has sort of been like the ultimate season of Paradise. It's everything that you love in terms of just the, you know, the comedy. I think it's the funniest season we've ever done. In a lot of ways, I think the breakups have been – really sort of more powerful than we've seen in the past few seasons. A lot of love triangles form this season. And it's just really what you love. And it really is an escape. So I really liked it. And I think that the fact we've had such great guys, both from Ari season and great girls on Becca season, that people are really excited to see, and they're all kind of different, is really... kind of fun and exciting. I mean, you have people like Leo and, you know, you've got Crystal and you've got Kendall and you've got people. So I think that it's just, it really feels like a greatest hit season for Bachelor in Paradise.
I'm ready to see Crystal back on my television. Like, I almost had forgotten about her, and it's just a real delight to know that.
Oh, trust me. You know. You'll remember her real quickly.
Also, have you met Jordan, and is he real or is he a Westworld prototype?
No, I've met Jordan. And he's exactly, and he's, to me, I think this would be a horrible world without people like Jordan. And he's, because he is who he is, you know. I think one of the things from Rachel's season that we really sort of disliked, and it, you know, was somebody like Waboom, if you remember him, who clearly was a guy who is just trying to be Jim Carrey, and that's it. He's like, okay, I've got the. It was so calculated. Jordan, you know, who was also a heightened personality, but he exactly is. I remember just meeting him on his casting weekend, and he is who he is. He is that guy. And I think what's really great about Paradise is that you're going to learn more about Jordan and see kind of how he got there. We started to touch on it at the end of Becca's 101, and then she sent him home. So
Jordan.
He is a real person.
That's good.
That's great.
I mean, how often, I know we have like the Waboom guy. I remember one woman once wearing vampire fangs.
Wait, we had Ashley Salter, the Onion Girl.
Well, but she's just amazing.
But there are
these people who sometimes.
Oh, you mean the other way.
Vampire fangs. She wore fangs coming out of the limo.
Yeah.
And I think her name was Madison. But so you have these heightened personalities every season. Sometimes it feels really real, sometimes more contrived.
Yeah.
How, like, is it just the case that every season you have a ton of wacky characters and you're trying to weed out the ones who are just playing?
Yeah, I mean, you try to, and I think we've gotten more savvy with that. But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it takes a certain type to say, I'm going to go on a TV show and really expose myself, and it's not for
and
everybody.
Jordan certainly did.
Yes, exactly. In every possible way that word could be used, he did. And I think that it takes certainly an extroverted personality, and some of them are bigger than others. But yeah, some of them are also more calculating and not real. And I think that's where you have to draw the line and see if you can figure that out.
Well, we can't wait to watch Paradise. More Jordan. And I can't wait to talk about the proposal. So I'm
God
switching the topic
you.
Now. Okay. So how did this show happen? What was the pitch meeting like? Where
well,
did it start?
It wasn't really a pitch meeting. Where it started was, you know, we talked to Mike Fleiss about doing something that could air after Bachelorette. And I had said to him, gosh, you know what I love that you did? Even though for a lot of reasons it can only air once, was this show he did called Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire.
Right.
Yes.
And that was the grandfather of the background check problem.
Yeah.
And it sort of led to, but there was something so compelling in that. Like, you know, you could just people were there. Like, you could just imagine people saying, oh, my God, you got to turn on Fox. Somebody's going to get married. They're doing a pageant, and they're going to get married at the end of this. And it was just huge. And so it sort of started as a, okay, how do we do that as, like, a dating show? Like basically a dating pageant. And it went through a lot of sort of iterations. I mean, that was the bones of it were that, and that's kind of what the show is now. And it kind of, you know, it went through a lot of, we looked at the different things in a pageant. We looked at, is there a talent portion? But that didn't seem to really lend itself to a relationship. And
people don't care about your talents.
They don't. And then I know we had talked about, there was one thing, there was one wrinkle it was going to be. This is when it was a dating thing. And what it was basically what would happen in the show, which is the lead would step out of the pod. And then the two people would kind of talk about it, make their plea, and then the lead would pick his or her final man or woman. And then the person that was chosen would get the power because they would get, like, three different prize packages. And two were, like, over-the-top romantic, and one was, like, a friend zone package. So, you know, so – and we, you know, we sort of batted that around. And then it's sort of – I forget – what was the original title we were calling it? I can't even remember now for the life of me, but we couldn't clear the title. And so we called it The Proposal.
Was it Fuck, Marry, Kill?
No, but oh my God. First of all, that's a show. We have to develop that show.
Yeah, that would be a fantastic show.
Oh,
we would
gosh.
Both really watch that show.
Okay, I'm going to clear that title. We tried to call it F, Marry, Kill, but that's fine.
Whatever
works.
Yeah, turn it
and
down
we'll
a little.
We'll figure out what that show is. But yeah, so in the meantime, we called it The Proposal, and then it was, well, the proposal could be anything. I propose we go out and get people. Like, anything could really be a proposal. You can propose anything. And then we did kind of heighten it and make it over the top. We brought Neil Lane in with his rings in case they wanted to propose marriage. And then we found these people actually did want to. And we would ask, you know, are you ready to propose marriage? And most of them were. And that's sort of the evolution of this show.
Wow. I had no idea how eager people were to actually propose on camera.
Oh, you'd be surprised. Yeah.
So, like, when it came time to choose a host, mm-hmm. why Jesse Palmer? And also, why does he say things the exact same way every time? Is it all pre-taped and he's a hologram?
I can confirm he's not a hologram. Other than that, I don't know about the rest of it. But so Jesse, we went through a lot of different iterations with this show, and we thought about a lot of different people. And Jesse's someone I've known for a long time, and I know he wanted to host, and he just... At a certain point, I think that when we really leaned into the pageant thing, and you think about the old sort of like Miss America pageants with, you know, people like Burt Parks or, you know, you think of William Shatner and Miss Congeniality or, you know, people like that, you really think to yourself, okay, you just want that guy who is just that somebody who has those kind of hosting chops. Jesse also does a lot of sports too, so he brought the sporting mm-hmm. aspect to it, and the fact the guy was a bachelor too.
Oh, I remember that.
It
yeah.
was the trifecta. So that was it was really kind of an easy decision, and I thought he's been fantastic. And he really, you know, he was a quick study. I mean, this is a brand new format, so he's got to figure it out. But he brought all those little touches, like, you know, nothing to be ashamed of. Or, I mean, I remember there were times, I don't know how many times we played in the show, but when somebody would be talking about, you know, why I'm here, a lot of times during the beachwear round, and they'd say, you know, like, you know, I'm here because my mom just died, and it's really hard, and I've thought I've had to throw myself into this, and I need to start taking chances. That's what it showed me. Life is short. And Jesse would come over and be like, your mother's watching down on us right now, and she's very proud of you. And it was just, it was like he really believes Aww. In this and takes it seriously, and that was the most important thing. And I can't say enough about how good Jesse is as this host.
That's so sweet.
So we need to ask, where did the idea for, like, the intro video packages with the swirling,
you know, our
silhouette.
Producer, I think it's our producer Jason Ehrlich that came up with it, and I remember seeing that the first time. Like, oh my god, this is a signature thing. Like, no show has this. Like, this is going to become
like the
our
weirdest thing I've ever
it
seen
is
on
so
TV.
So bizarre,
it's bizarre, and there were so many meanings and things about the color. Like at one point, the pod's blob was like gold, and I was like, no, that looks too weird and ostentatious, and how do we, I mean, if you knew how much massaging this all took just to get it done.
So do they just wear a full body green suit to do that, or
no, we have a
meticulous
thing, we just give it to a there's like a post-production house that just knows how to just make those full body shots look like blobs.
That's like the most
so
it's incredible.
Incredible.
It is, it's incredible.
And when the there's also the concept of the pod.
Yes.
The lead is in the pod, a pod person.
This is where it came. You know what? The original title of the show was The Secret Admirer. And that's where, and that's what it was. And it was the guy in the pod looking out. So that's, yes, thank you for, you now got me to where this was. Okay, anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
What about Peeping Tom? You guys should try a show called Peeping Tom.
We like that idea. You know, we thought of, yes, that definitely came up. Not for this show, but that is a title, believe it or not. You're not the first to suggest
God.
That.
Oh, it God. Is a crime. I'm just, you know, just going to throw that out there.
We would explore the lighter aspects.
The lighter aspects. Just like we were talking about the lighter
aspects
of stalking.
The online stalking, yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that word gets a bad rap.
So, like, they come out of the pod when it's the last two people. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a case where the two people or one of the two people has then gone back to write their proposal and been like, oh no, I find him repulsive, or I find her really unattractive?
No, God, I wish.
That would be great.
But no, I think that, you know, what happens is you're so amped up. Like, this is so, you've got people cheering and everything. It's crazy that people really just get so excited about this. I think they're just in the moment.
Have you thought about like pushing the envelope to like make the person less and less conventionally hunky?
So well, I think we sort of did that. If you saw Winston on Monday,
That's true.
You know,
I wasn't sure if that was intentional.
It wasn't intentional, but there definitely was like a, you know, they're not the guys you'd normally see on The Bachelor per se. I mean, what's interesting, if you stick with the show and you see there's actually a through line you'll see in the last couple episodes where there's a guy that got this great response that was he was just like a regular UPS driver and he got, people were so upset when he left heartbroken. We made him the person in the pod. And then you'll see there's a girl that's the runner-up in that episode. That was our last episode of the season, so we didn't know. But Jesse asked her to be on the pod, and you just root for this person. But, they're fairly normal people. And I think if we start doing more of this, a little bit of the recycling like we do on The Bachelor, you'll see it start to get sort of more normal and, yeah, maybe less conventional.
Yeah. I mean, is it a different group of people from The Bachelor, or do you have a similar casting pool?
No, well, it's a new show, so it's always hard. Now that people know what the show is, I think it'll get easier to cast.
So you're not just like, this guy didn't work for The Bachelor, we'll put him in the pod?
No, that really didn't happen, yeah.
Except with Kristen,
and... you know, I will say, I'll tell you, one person who was going to be in the pod was Eric Bigger.
Who was
on Bachelor in Paradise. And it was sort of like, at that point, we'd shot, I think, 7 or 8 episodes. And it was, you know, you could see, like, it certainly is a good thing in terms of you'll get promotion and you'll get people. People will say, you know, maybe you want to see it. But you could see, like, he was doing it to try it out, like, which I can't blame him. Like, I totally get it. But he was sort of like, yeah, I'll try it and I'll see what happens. And at that point, it was like, you know, let's actually take somebody who, so I don't know that we would necessarily take Bachelor people unless they really thought they could get married in an hour.
Yeah, no, that seems fair.
And Bachelor people are like, no, fair, right? I want to like, take a long time.
No, I want
weeks.
6 weeks.
I need 8
exactly.
weeks.
That's right. Exactly.
I mean, can the process be sped up anymore? Could we get like a 10-minute web series in which the final couple at the end like buys a house together?
Why don't we see? I don't know. I think that the way the world is changing now, I mean, for me, it's bizarre. Like, I'm actually proud of the proposal in a way that I think it does hold up a little bit of a mirror to kind of how things are right now and how the world is going and how quickly we move to do anything right now or say things or, you know, these declarations we make very quickly are true. So you never know. Maybe we could figure out that speed dating show where it's 10 minutes to 10 minutes to a mortgage, I guess we'd call it.
Yeah, 10 minutes to a mortgage.
Oh, that is inspired.
That's a great web series title.
I would certainly watch that.
My other suggestion was at the end, you know, you have all the women like harvest their eggs, and then at the end they conceive a child together.
Like that. The harvesting, that has a
unethical,
little bit
maybe.
Tale, which is good. I don't know. Some would call it that. Others might just call it entertaining.
We're all just asking questions here. We're having conversations.
That's right.
Claire,
exactly.
I had no idea you'd thought this much about this, and I'm leaving this conversation inspired, honestly.
Yeah, and so am I. Although I do want to ask before we totally wrap up on the proposal, what kind of marriage success rate you're expecting from this season?
And will we get a televised wedding?
I think it would be more of like a televised commercial, because that would only be fair for the proposal. It would be an interstitial somewhere. Look, you never say never to anything. The success rate so far has been really good. These couples most of them have stayed together. Winston, I think we announced Winston and the showgirl that he picked, unfortunately, they tried to make it work and didn't. So they've parted ways, but most of them have stayed together. And look, if it leads to some weddings, that would be absolutely fantastic. That is the goal. So
yeah. ABC, bringing love to the whole world.
That's what we do. Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for answering all of our many questions.
Oh,
wow,
this
was amazing.
So fun. Oh, no, you guys are absolutely fantastic.
This has been so delightful, and we hope that we get to do it again.
Please, whenever, let me know. And thank you again for all the support. And I'm excited for you guys to see the finale Monday night, and certainly any suggestions welcome as to who the bachelor should be and why, and we listen to everything.
Oh, I'm sure we'll have many opinions.
You'll see that on Twitter.
You'll have opinions? Okay.
Yeah, we'll see you out there on Twitter as the finale plays out. We can't wait.
I look forward to it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
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 And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks so much to our guest, Robert Mills. And of course, to our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Do you love Here to Make Friends?
You do.
Find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to subscribe and give us a rating. We love hearing what you think. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, so please like us there. You can find both of us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. Or, of course, you can always send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. Stay tuned.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.